If you take your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 3 and 4 this morning. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Let's pray. Lord, out of the wilderness of our lives, you have called us your people. And Lord, this morning we have come to your oasis, the gathering, to be under your word, to be in your presence together, to be your people, to be your church. And Father, as we turn our attention to your word now, we need you. Lord, would you be pleased to visit your people this morning, that we would hear it, receive it for what it is. And Lord, that you would remember your own promise that your word will not return void. It will accomplish what you have sent it to do. May you accomplish your work in us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine that there was a guy who had no idea what a car was. He had never seen one before. He had no idea what it was, how it worked. And someone comes along and gives him one. He says, here, this is yours. It's called a car. It's fully ready to go. Now, you are responsible to get yourself and this car to the finish line, which is about, 100 miles down this road. Well, the man looks at the car, and he starts trying to figure out how he's going to get it to the finish line. He notes that it's a little big, it's a little heavy, but he also notices that if he pushes really hard from the back, it starts to move. And he says, oh, I understand. That's how this works. I got to push it. And away he goes, working and straining. He's hurting, he's pushing, one foot in front of the other. Day after day, down the road, he walks, pushing that car all the way to the finish line. Now he's moving. He's moving. But just imagine if he had known how the car actually worked. He could have just gotten in, turned the key, and driven it 100 miles. Easy. It wouldn't have been a problem. So what was missing? He had all the tools in front of him, right? He had the car, he had the keys, it was all ready to go, full tank of gas, there's a road right in front of you. He had it all. What was missing? What was missing was the knowledge of how to drive a car. He didn't know how. His lack of knowledge made his journey way more difficult than it needed to be. He was moving forward, but nowhere near with the speed or the ease, not to mention the joy he could have. And I think that many of us can be just like that man, trying so hard to get our lives on track, get them moving, and wondering, why is it so hard? Pushing and fighting and working and then getting back up in the morning and going again. Always burdened with this heavy load to push down the road, and we wonder. Jesus said his yoke was easy and his burden was light. What's wrong with me? Why is my life so hard? What's missing? And we don't really know the answer, but we know that this is the way. So we give ourselves up to the struggle and we push our lives down the road a little further. But sometimes we wonder, don't we, where's the power? Where's the power to overcome? Where's the joy? How do I start the car and just drive it down the road instead of having to push it with all my poor strength? Now, the problem is, like that man, We lack knowledge. In our last sermon, our introductory sermon to 2 Peter, we saw that grace and peace are multiplied to us. We receive more and more grace and peace in our lives through knowledge. That's how it grows and multiplies, through knowledge. And now Peter says that God has given us not just grace and peace. He's going to tell us that God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through what? Through knowledge. All things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of God. So we have the tools. We have the car. We have the keys, the full tank of gas. We have a road ahead of us, but now we're going to have to learn how to drive the car. And until we do, we're going to keep having trouble getting our lives on track. So this morning, we're going to take some driving lessons and see if we can learn how to drive the car. I taught 4 girls how to drive a car. And I am now gray because of it. But I'm still able to stand, and they're able to drive. My girls are great drivers. Good drivers. You're good drivers, girls. Now, before we move on, I want to make clear that I'm not saying that your life should be easy. That's not true. You know that. Life is not like just driving a car down the road. You're going to have troubles in your life. That's a given. Jesus said so. You already know it. We should expect trials and struggles. The normal Christian life is one of many hardships. That's true. But then we also see in the scriptures again and again promises of peace, right? Promises of grace, promises of power and joy. So what we're doing today is learning how to keep our peace and joy, even multiply them, even as we go through our trials. We can truthfully say that the Christian life is one of hardships. That's a true statement. But we can just as truthfully say that the Christian life is one of joy. It's easier to recognize the hardships in life. It can be way harder to find the joy. They seem to be at odds with each other, but they shouldn't be. Where's the power to see that? So let's look. See if we can find it. We start with a promise. It all starts with a promise of supply. Look at verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This is an astounding promise. You can hardly believe it when you stop and realize what he's saying. That's hard to fathom. All things pertaining to life and godliness has been given to you. They're yours. Huh. Well, that means that you have all the things that you need. They're not kept from you. They're not hidden away. They're not held in secret, held in reserve. It says they have been given, past tense. They've already been given. All things pertaining to life and godliness have been given. They are yours. So, when you look at your life, the trials that you have, do you feel like you have all that you need? Have you got it figured out? If you're anything like me, you're often going to feel like something is missing. The trials overwhelm. And he says, I have all I need for godliness, but in my current valley, I'm not sure what that means. Life can get confusing. Difficult decisions need to be made. Relationships and jobs need to be navigated. There are issues with children and illness and on and on. There's 1,000 decisions to make every day, and that before lunchtime. We often don't feel like we have what we need. And yet, here we have the promise, don't we? God has said it. He has given us everything we need to make those decisions, to navigate your trial. You have what you need. It's been given to you by His will. It says by His divine power. That means because He has done it, no one can take it away. It has been given. By His divine power, no one can take it away. It is there. The promise is sure, and it holds through all the trials of your life. No one can close the door that He has opened for you. If God would ever stop providing what you need, then this passage would no longer be true, would it? But every time you open the Word, there it is. You find this promise ringing out with joy. And that ought to fill our hearts and our minds. He has given me all that I need for life and godliness. We start with the promise. Because the road ahead of me looks difficult. And this car is really heavy and it's hard to push. I need something, and here I have a promise that He has given to me. It's always true. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. This should be a source of comfort, of strength and joy to us. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. He has provided for me all that I need for my life and for godliness. There is nothing lacking. Okay, that's true. We can read it. There it is. But take note then of what this does not mean. Nowhere does the Bible say what the specific outcome of your trial will be, right? He doesn't give you that kind of knowledge. He doesn't tell you that. That doesn't mean that God has failed to keep His promise. It means that that's not the kind of knowledge you need for your life or for godliness. What you need is godly wisdom and a renewed mind, which God has given. That's what you need to do what is right. So the question to ask yourself is, are you content with the promise of God? Really? Are you content with His promise? That means, are you content with not knowing how your specific trial is going to turn out? Is His promise enough for you? He has said He's working it for your good. Is that enough? Is that enough for you to obey His word? And you ask yourself, point blank, in light of your trial, you bring the promise to bear, not knowing how your trial is going to turn out, you ask yourself, will I or won't I put my faith in what God has said? Is His promise enough for me? I can read the promise simply enough, but to apply it at the point of decision in my valley, I start to see that it's not so easy as I thought. This car is heavy. Am I only satisfied if I know the specific outcome of my decision? Will things turn out the way that I want? Because that's not knowledge you're going to get. I will love my spouse if they respond the way I want. I'm going to love my neighbor, provided they respond in a good way. I will if. And it's not if. We are not given the knowledge of the future. That's not ours. That's not the promise. So often that's exactly what we want, though. We want to walk by sight and not by faith because the trial is heavy and I'm afraid. I have a desire that it goes a certain way. It really matters to me and I want to know that. And the Lord says, I haven't given you that. I have given you a promise. You have all things you need for life and godliness. And I'm working it for your good. Am I your God or not? And now we're put hard by it. We want to know how things are going to turn out because all too often that is how we judge whether it was worth it to obey. I obeyed in this area and it didn't turn out. What? And that's all backwards. That is saying that his promises are not enough. Your job is to grab hold of the promise and then move forward in faith. No matter if things go the way you want it or not, the promise of God is sufficient for you. Do you believe that? We start with the promise. Then we have the path. Okay? I've seen a promise. It is a great promise. Now there's a path. How do I get this knowledge? If it comes through knowledge of God, all things pertaining to life and godliness come through the knowledge of God. I want some of that. How do I get it? Do I just somehow have it inherently now? Like, now that I'm a believer, am I a genius? I can see on your faces that I'm not. No, it's not like that at all. But God has told us how we receive the promise. It's not by magic. You don't just muster it up by yourself. Look back to our passage. You're going to see it there. Where does the promise come from? The promise comes through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises. What we need, then, for life and godliness comes through the knowledge of God. And that knowledge, the knowledge of God, comes through the Word, what He has said, His great and precious promises. This is where we get it from. This is the path. The knowledge comes through His promises. We need to know what His promises are. We need to know what He has said. We need to know His Word. That's the path. God's Word is our source of knowledge, which then is our source of an increase of grace and peace, multiplied, remember from last time? Multiplied grace and peace. It's meant to multiply, to grow, to overflow. And in knowing how to live our lives in godliness, it's the Word of God. The knowledge that we need is not out there somewhere. In visions, in dreams, intuitions, listening closely for a word, picture, or thought. We have to keep hitting that because there are those who keep teaching that. And it confuses and hurts a lot of people. The knowledge that you need comes directly through what He has said. His great and precious promises. That's what you want. Great and precious promises. They are sufficient. So if you want then an increase of grace and peace in your life, if you want to take hold of all that you need for life and godliness, you need to know the Word. That's the path. The Word must be your treasure. Now that's easy to say and much harder to do. We would all say we love the Word. I say it, I love the Word. But does your life then prove that statement? Another question to ask yourself, to think about. If someone heard you say that you believed in the Word of God, that it was the light unto your path, you based your life on the Word, that was your treasure. If someone heard you say that and then looked at your day-to-day, everyday life, would they say, yeah, that's true. I can see it in his life. I can see it in her life. This person dearly cherishes the Word of God. I can see it. Or would your daily life contradict that statement? How well do you really know the Word? How much time do you spend with it? Do you have a renewed mind so that you can test and approve the will of God, what is pleasing to Him? It's easy to say that I love His Word. But does my life match what I say? Do I? Do I really? Have I learned how to turn that key? Or do I just carry the Bible around with me, push the car, and wonder why I have no power. You have to get into the Word in order to know God. God has given us what we need for all of our life, and what He has given us is His Word. The knowledge of Him, His promises to us, that's sufficient for our needs. It's right here. We need to dig deep and look closely. Because we can take great comfort and joy in knowing that God has given us all that we need. That's good. There is great comfort and joy in that. Yes and amen. But knowing that He has given us all that we need, and knowing what He has actually given, aren't quite the same, are they? They're not quite the same. It's like if there was a famine in the land. You're starving. And someone comes along to you and says, my garage is full of food, top to bottom. And it's for you. You can have all of it. It's yours. It's more than enough to last the entire famine. Help yourself. You would rightfully be overjoyed and thankful. Yay, yes, and amen. But what if you never went to go get it? You would still starve, no matter how thankful you were. No matter how much you jumped up and down at this mighty gift this person had given you. If you never went to go get it, you would still starve. Knowing that it is there, knowing that it is here, is not the same as going to go get it. You got to go get it. We can know that God's grace is sufficient, but do we get it? Do we know how to make it multiply in our lives? There's a question. Do we learn how to discern the will of God so that we can make godly decisions with confidence and have His peace guard our hearts and minds no matter what happens to us? This power comes through the knowledge of God, and the knowledge of God comes through knowing His Word. The lesson is do the work. Do the work. There are no shortcuts. You can fool everybody, even yourself, but you can't fool God. We must do the work. Let your life be the proof of your statement of faith. That's a good line. Let your life be the proof of your statement of faith. I love the Word. And someone examines you and says, yep, yes they do. I can see it. God's Word is the means by which we receive all things pertaining to life and godliness. It's through His great and precious promises. So is the Word of God your treasure? Or do you treat it like the man who had access to all that food but didn't go get it? Are you confident that faith is the victory that overcomes the world, but you have no idea how to overcome the world? That is the tragic state of many a Christian. They know that it's true. Faith overcomes the world, and yet I am daily defeated. And they live in that state of tension, not knowing how it's done, where the power comes from. If you want power, you need the knowledge of God. It comes through His great and precious promises. That's where you get it from. So do you know then the God who said, do not worry? Because you won't be able to not worry if you don't know Him. You won't be able to not worry if you don't trust Him. Your fear will remain. But listen, once you know Him, you know His character, you know His love, His promises to you, His supply. Once you have that knowledge, then you can truly receive the command to not worry. Will you thank God for giving you all the things that you need, but not go and get them? You need the knowledge of God. I need the knowledge of God. Your peace comes from how much you trust Him, and your trust comes from how well you know Him. That's how it goes. Your peace, your confidence, your joy, fruitfulness in your life comes from how much you trust Him, and your trust comes directly from how well you know Him. Receive the promises. Know that they are true. Know His character, and the fruitfulness will be there. In the end, the more you know Him, the lighter your burden will be. That you can write down. The more you know God, the lighter the burden will be. So His power has given us all that we need. And all we need comes through knowing Him, His Word, His promises. Right? So I believe then that He has given me what I need, the promise. I've seen it. I've read it right here. He's given me all things. I got the promise. Okay? I then go to the Word to see what it is He has given me in my particular situation. Now I'm going to go to the Word. I'm going to love the Word. I'm going to see what He says. What do I do? I'm in this spot at my work. I'm in this spot with temptation. I'm in this spot in my marriage. I got trouble. So I go to the Word to see what He has given me, the path. I have the path. I have the promise. Now I have the path. So what happens next? Next, what happens is that we then partake of the divine nature. Verse 4. By which He has granted to us His precious and variegate promises, so that through them, through the promises, so you got to know His Word, through those promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature. Now that sounds pretty cool, but what does that mean? It sounds very formal. Partaking of the divine nature. What does that mean? Well, this is what it means. It means that God's character, His nature, the divine nature, starts to become your nature. Your nature becomes more and more conformed to Him. This is multiplying grace and peace. This is knowing His will, having a renewed mind. You become conformed to Him. You become more and more like Him. So as you receive the promises of God found in the Scripture, and you walk in light of them by faith, believing them, acting upon that belief, then the Spirit molds your character into Christ-likeness. You become like Him. This means that your weak human nature that is so easily given to fear and weakness, to temptation and sin, it increases in grace and peace and godliness and becomes ever more like the nature of God Himself. Your old nature is replaced more and more in practice with God's nature. A renewed mind so that you can test and discern what the will of the Lord is. You can have confidence. You don't need to know specifically the outcome of your trial. God has given you what you need in the Word to walk in obedience right now. You don't need more knowledge. You need this knowledge. So as you grow in the knowledge of God and your character grows in step with that knowledge, you will start to drive the car. And you'll find that you're not pushing it so often. That car is going to start to move. To the extent that you know God, will you rule over the trials in your life? You can write that down too. To the extent that you know God, will you rule over the trials of your life? See if I can give an illustration here so you can see how practical this is. Say that you hit a speed bump in your life. You're driving your car, and you hit a speed bump. Some trial comes along. You're diagnosed with some terrible illness. This is bad news. Something's going wrong with your body, whatever. When you are looking at that through the lens of your human nature, what are you going to see? You're going to see your weakness, your suffering, your inability to overcome. Perhaps you even see your impending death. When you view your problem through that lens, you will feel fear and helplessness. It'll fill your mind day and night, leading to all kinds of stress, discouragement, misery. But say instead, you receive your diagnosis, you know that there's a promise, you know where to find what you need, and there you go. You begin to renew your mind. You begin to partake of the divine nature. You begin to renew your mind with the promises of God. All that I need for life and godliness are found in His promises. I'm in a bad way right now. I'm stressed. And I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do. But wait, I do know what to do. He has given me a promise. He has told me where to find it, what I need for life and godliness. Okay, so now you begin to renew your mind with the promises of God, knowing that He is sovereign over your illness, that He is turning it for your good. He is turning it for your good, that your salvation and eternal life are secure in Jesus, that God loves you, that joy, eternal joy, is your reward, and this will work out for the glory of God. If you look through that lens, what's going to happen now? What will be your response? It's going to be exactly the opposite, isn't it, of looking through your human nature. Instead of fear, you will have a multiplying of confidence. Instead of dread, hope will spring up anew. Instead of misery, there will be joy. Peace that passes all understanding. I have this illness, and yet I have confidence and strength and joy. Godliness. You will have a multiplying of grace and peace, won't you? With that renewed mind that comes from the knowledge of God, that comes through the Word. Even in your trial. Even in your trial, you will find that you have all you need for life and godliness. Nothing's lacking. And in that, you will have joy. Your trial will not overcome you. You will not be defeated. The peace of God will guard your heart and mind. When your purpose in life is the glory of God, you revel in His goodness towards you, those promises. When you know Him, and there's nothing lacking, you will always be able to succeed and bring glory to God, to submit to Him and to give Him praise and thanksgiving, no matter how deep and dark the valley is. The promise holds. The sufficiency is there. His character is ringing true. He knows the way out of every valley. I've often said it. You're in the deepest, darkest valley of all. If God were to turn the light on for 1 second, you would look down and see a well-trodden path. He has led thousands through that very same valley. He knows the way out of every one. You would see the steps of Christ going before you. In that moment, you would know He is enough. He knows the way out of even my valley. And I'm not alone. It is sufficient for me. And even though the valley brings tears and heartache and pain, there's nothing lacking. He has given me what I need for life and for godliness, and I can praise Him even through my tears. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Not from them all. You will have them, but out of them you will come. Everyone. That's true. Write that down. So you can begin to see how practical this is. This can be used in every trial. We have as many trials and then some as there are people in this room. Many trials, and this can be used in every trial. His grace is sufficient for you in your trial. The knowledge of God has given you all that you need for life and godliness, and that becomes a relentless joy in your life, causing you to pursue Him, pursue His word and His promises. You know that you have all that you need right there to walk in victory. There's nothing lacking. I need knowledge. That's what I need. And then the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. By faith, we have all that we need to live lives of joy, no matter how difficult the speed bumps are, no matter how much pain that you are in, no matter how disappointed you are, hurt, heartbroken, and all the rest. There is a relentless joy in the Lord once you know Him. You can only know Him through His word, His great and precious promises. So long as you live for earthly desires and rewards, so long as your eyes are down here, earthward, you will be a slave to your circumstances, a slave to your trials. They will overcome you. Daily they will overcome you. They will defeat you. But we are not to live by our circumstances, right? We are to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's our life. That's our bread. And through that comes power. When the word of God is the knowledge that you live by, you will have power to overcome. It is His promise. It is His gift of power. This is partaking of the divine nature. And this is the faith that overcomes the world. All the darkness in it cannot avail against the promises and power of God, which He has given us through his great and precious promises. By this communion with God, promise path partaking, we escape the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Still verse 4. We escape the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. You see that? You can escape from your sinful desires. Those desires of the flesh that keep knocking you down, you can defeat them. They can be changed. We're talking about a new nature. So that temptation no longer has power over you. Does that sound too good to be true? It isn't. You will not be tempted where you have no desire. If you don't desire it, you're not tempted to take it. When I was 9, I had my tonsils removed. When I was a boy, ice cream was my favorite thing in the world, and not much has changed now that I'm grown up. I love ice cream. And the doctor told me, once the procedure was done, you can have all the ice cream you want, as much as you want. Because the ice cream, the cold, I guess, is good for the throat. And I was the most excited little boy pre-surgery you ever did see. And I dreamed of the mountains of ice cream I was going to eat. So happy. My desires were just lighting me up. Ice cream. And when I woke up, I didn't have a single spoonful of ice cream. Not a lick of a cone, nothing, though they tried. Because this hurts so bad here, there was no way I was going to eat ice cream. You know what I didn't want? Ice cream. An hour before, my mind was consumed with it. I want it, I want it, I want it. If it was within 50 yards of me, I was going to find it and eat it all. I wasn't going to share it with my sister. She was getting her tonsils out too. Afterwards, my desires were changed. They were changed because of pain I was experiencing. But I wanted no ice cream. You could have put it in front of me in bowls, chocolate and sprinkles and cherries and whatever. Not even a little bit tempted. Not even a smidgen. Your desires drive your decisions. While you're writing things down, write that one down too. Your desires drive your decisions. Consider a few passages on what the Bible has to say about desire. James 1, 14 to 15. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. The desire drives the decision. Galatians 5, 16 to 17. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. They're opposed to each other. Ephesians 2, 3, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Your desires drive your decisions, and you will pursue what you desire. You need a new nature transformed in your mind. You need all things pertaining to life and godliness. Because we all have sinful desires of the flesh at war within us. But you can escape those sinful desires. How? By believing the promise of God, by following the path of His Word, and by practice partaking of His divine nature. Promise, path, partake. This is the gift of God's power given to you. Leave the results up to Him. He hasn't given you that. That's not His promise, other than He's working out for your good. Your job is to obey. As we carry on through this series, we're going to press into this very idea. How is this done? There's more before we kind of have the full key to unlock the story. You have all you need for life and godliness. Here's what Peter is saying. The more you know God through His Word, the more power over sin and joy in your life you will have. The more you know God through His Word, the more power over sin and joy in your life you will have. And that is a promise. Amen.